live. And we just appreciate God in His presence and wonderful singing. It all comes down to this, the two greatest commandments that we mentioned a little bit here this morning. Do you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? If you love Him, once again, if everybody else was to forsake you and you are all by yourself, if your spouse, if your friends, if your church family just walked away, would you still serve Him? If you were on an island all by yourself, would you still serve Him? Yes. Why? Because He's the only reason I have to live. Amen. Wonderful singing, worship, good spirit here tonight. And I thank God for His help just throughout the day. Some weeks, I think, we live in this fallen world, and there's still a lot going on in this world, and it's easy to get, bogged down sometimes just what's going on. But I just been so encouraged by the Lord's presence today in both services, and even tonight in the testimonies. I said, took everything, in me when I go, woo, praise God, hallelujah, because God is still answering prayer. God is answering prayer, and I even believe in these last days, we just may see an increase in miracles. Why? Because I believe there's going to be an increase in faith as we are forced to not look to the things of this world, but we're looking to the things of God, and we do appreciate God and His goodness. Go back to the book of Hebrews. Let's go back to that one text, and we will continue tonight what we started this morning. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 12 and 14. We started this morning talking to you about the subject of practical holiness. And the importance of that, I will not be doing a review much tonight. I know sometimes I'll take a good 5 or 10 minutes and review what we talked about this morning. My encouragement is, if you were not here this morning, didn't get to hear it, go back and listen to maybe this morning's sermon. And not because I'm preaching or I think it's anything special, but just the fact that it'll give you a little bit of a foundation where we started this morning, talking about our heritage, talking about what practical holiness is. We got pristine holiness, we got positional holiness, but practical is that which we live in this world. A lot of times we are called a holiness church, and I talked about that a little bit more this morning. But what we are going to look at here in this evening service, we're going to talk to you about this understanding of what holiness is. What is holiness? What is practical holiness? What is this idea or this practice when it comes to saying we are a holiness people or that we are a holiness church? And I'm a firm believer that the Bible is, as the Scriptures tell us there, that all Scripture is profitable. Do you believe that? If it's in the Bible, if it talks about it, we should make the effort to understand what the heart of God is. Now, I know that takes some effort sometimes on our part. We have to put forth the effort to be a church that is worthy of His name, because the Bible contains, I believe, there's nothing insignificant in the Bible. I believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, that God wants us to search the Scriptures to find His heart. And though every statement in Scripture is not essential maybe to receiving salvation, we know there's some statements there that necessarily, if you don't know that statement, doesn't mean you're not saved. Nevertheless, we understand that every statement is essential to what we would call some wise end. It's producing something in us. Doesn't matter how it's mentioned or where it's mentioned, we got to study it, we got to know the context, we got to know the background, and therefore when we search the Scriptures and we look at the ideas, especially in the New Testament, we understand that there are standards of practice for each believer. There's things that we ought to do. I mentioned this morning, I told you I'm not going to review much, and I'm not, but I realize this, that depending on which culture you are in at that moment, you've got to make practical applications along the way. We live in the United States of America. So nevertheless, here we are. How do we live here? How do we abstain? How do we come out from among the world? We dealt with that some here this morning. And again, go back and listen to that if you want a little bit more of a foundation. But our first point here tonight is going to be that of inward and outward holiness. Inward and outward holiness. We have to understand when we are going to talk about the subject of practical holiness, holiness involves both the inner person and the outer person. Both the inner person person and the outer person. That is critical for us to understand. There are times in life we have met people, maybe you have met people, who focus only on the outer, and they talk about the outer so much that there's a negligence of the inner man. I have met women and men that, if you would, they would dress to the T. They would have a standard, if you would, but when it comes down to it, sometimes their inner man or inner woman is not what it should be. And I mentioned a few things this morning. I met women with long dresses and longer tongues, if you would. Amen. You got to be careful that you don't just focus on one over top of the other. To give you a few verses, just to kind of look at that here this evening, showing us that God cares about your body and your spirit. Brother Shane preached from this last week, but he says, what? In 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. In your body and in your spirit. You see that? Glorify God in your body, what you do with your body, but also glorify God in your spirit. And even more famously, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, and where Paul would say, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray the God of your whole spirit may sanctify you wholly. Talks about your spirit, soul, and body, about being preserved and being blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What we are talking about here tonight and started this morning, holiness is something that is inward and outward. It is inward and outward. Holiness includes attitudes. It includes thoughts. It includes spiritual stewardship. And I could go on and on. Actions, appearance, and all these things we could talk about. God cares. Holiness is a part of it all. Inward holiness. Hear me. This is very important for you to comprehend. Inward holiness will produce a form of outward holiness. Right? You see, because sometimes we can just focus on the outward appearance and not focus on the inner man. All right, let's talk about this. I've been in holiness churches long enough. We let people join on the outside because if they conform to outward conformity. I know that's what we can see, and we take people at their word. But have you ever met somebody that joined a holiness church? They come to find out up the road they were not what they said they were. They had a bad attitude. They allowed themselves to be a part of things they shouldn't be a part of. I mean, they looked the right on the outside, if you would, but on the inward, they were not in the right place they should be. For example, a modest spirit will produce modest dress, but modest dress is of little value if it conceals a lustful heart. Again, I've been around long enough in the holiness movement, been to enough youth camps, been to enough camp meetings where Sister So-and-so dressed right, but she had a certain look with them eyes. You had to watch her. I've met women before, and I've met some men too, that, you know, they got the suit on, if you would, and they look the part, and they act the part, and they know the songs, and they love the camp meetings and all these things, and they participate, if you would, but that same man, you know, it ain't but so much up the road. You realize that their inner man, they had a wandering eye, and they had issues all in their life, but even though they looked the part, they didn't have the proper inward experience. So what I'm saying is this, you can dress right, doesn't mean your heart's right. We got to be careful we don't focus on one over top of the other. Holiness churches, we have to beware right here that we do not just preach conformity. What is conformity? It's the idea that, look, just do everything we do without proper explanation. Look, once again, I've said this already, but there are some who dress right, who don't live right. They don't act right. They don't show the right spirit. You can have that long dress if you would, but a longer tongue. They may not have adornment, but they're full of pride. They don't show their knees, but they show a bad attitude. And I could go through with a bunch of other pithy sayings. You get the point. What I'm saying is this, you got to have more than outward conformity. There's got to be something on the inner man. I've met people who said they brag about not participating in the world, but they don't participate in church either. It's a problem. It's a problem. I don't go here and I don't do that and I'm not a part of that. But do you come to the house of God with your heart ready to receive? Again, It's easy to just put a checklist out, if you would. But I'm going to tell you right now, God cares more than just about the attire, though I do believe God cares about that. God cares about the order of our homes. I preached that a few weeks ago. It doesn't matter how much I live or how much my wife lives. What if our home is out of order? Are we a holiness couple just because we dress the part? No, our home is out of order. That's not holy. There's some people that talk about how holy they are, but they're not faithful. Mercy, if I could stop right here and preach for a while. Of people who dress right but don't show up to church. People that dress right but don't have no heart to be a part of the things of God. I'm telling you right now, holiness is more than just the external. It's got to be internal and external. It's got to be both parts. You can't just conform to one over the other, but you've got to have a true heart that is conditioned. See, the problem is there's been a loophole in many of our, in our churches. We let people join on the pretense of attire and not know about the certainty of their heart, but we have to have both. And once again, I know we only know certain things about people. And a lot of times we judge the outward because that's what we can see. But it's got to be more than that. There's got to be something in the heart. Now, I always feel like I have to justify every statement I say. But here we go again. What are we, Brother Derek, you're preaching this and you're talking to us. What about people that don't know better? I talked about that this morning. We must be tolerant of different levels of maturity with respect to practical holiness. Even while we are careful to maintain the level which we may have attained and we have knowledge, we must not be overly judgmental of those who do not know any better. Right? In particular, we should take great care not to condemn, intimidate, or just run off visitors or new converts. Mercy, I've seen it. I've met people before. There's a new convert in the church that just doesn't know much. And Sister So-and-so is going to go over there and tell them how it is. Or Brother So-and-so is going to just figure out exactly how to fix all the problems in their life. You better be led of the Holy Ghost if you're going to go start dabbling in somebody's soul. And before you run them off, I believe some people can be held accountable for the way that they treat other people. We're a holiness church. We're not a hateful church. We're a holiness church. We're not a mean church. And I think here in the day that we live, we better learn to have a balance and patience in our spirit because the problems are ever more complicated in these last days. Right? Now, I think there's a learning curve to all of this, and we've got to understand we need God's help. But again, there's diversity of backgrounds, and some people require more time than others to develop certain holiness convictions. But it is better for new converts to keep on coming to church. It is better that they come to church and hear the teaching of God's Word. It's better that they come and hear the Word of God and conform to the Word of God more than just conform to Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so. Let them conform because the Holy Ghost is working in their life, not because somebody said this or said that. And I realize there's times of teaching and counsel, but I'm talking about having a right spirit. I'm talking about external and internal holiness. You must have both. And once again, I pray God that He send us a revival in our holiness churches that'll uproot it. If there's any false pretense of holiness in people, God reveal it. God, deal with it. If it be in my heart or somebody else's, I don't want to just feel because I come and just adhere to a standard, everything's perfect. I've got to have it right on the inside. I've got to have a moving of the Holy Ghost on the inside. I've got to have an intimate relationship on the inside. If it's ever going to produce anything that's lasting, anything that has longevity on the outside. And I know in a holiness church that may get uncomfortable sometimes when you're talking about those things. But don't you look to your standard as your salvation. You better look to Jesus, and you better ask the Holy Ghost to make sure your heart's in the right place. Make sure your heart's in the right place. Again, and I said it this morning, and I mean it, and I'll reaffirm it tonight. Some of the meanest people I've met in church. I've met some lot of people in church, but I've met some mean holiness folk. And I'm telling you, God's not pleased with mean holiness people. I'm not talking about standing for the truth. I'm talking about people that have no right spirit. God doesn't want that from me or from you. When it comes to the ideals of holiness, again, it comes from the originally, you got to be saved before you are holy. We understand this, that holiness is one of those things that it comes from your salvation. Holiness is not the means of earning salvation, but it is the result of salvation. We believe in justification by faith, don't we? I put my faith in Jesus. I repent of my sins at that moment. I'm justified when I've been regenerated and made new. So I'm not living holiness to be saved, if you would, but I'm living holiness because I am saved. Amen. I'm not trying to earn salvation by doing this or doing that. That's justification by works, and we have condemned that for thousands of years in church history. That's why we don't agree with Catholicism and all their extra things that they add to the Word of God. But we believe what saves a man and what saves a woman is a genuine faith in the Jesus Christ of heaven and His atonement. That's what saves you. That's what matters. And then we realize from there we launch a heart and a mind that says, God, I want to please You. So again, we do not live holiness to earn salvation. We live holiness because we are saved. We cannot manufacture our own holiness. We are partakers of God's holiness. If it was not for the blood of Jesus, your self-righteousness would be as filthy rags. Hear that. If Jesus didn't wash you in His blood, it doesn't matter what you did. Doesn't matter how modest you dress. Doesn't matter how much money you give. And it doesn't matter where you don't go or where you do go. If you were not washed in the blood of Jesus, it's entirely impossible to be holy. You got to be washed before you can be holy in the eyes of Jesus. But it's from that salvation that we begin to live practical holiness, as we learn about the things of God. Secondly, I mentioned a little bit this morning, I'll expound a little further. Holiness has to do with loving God. If we love God, we will obey His commandments. Without love, all attempts to live for God are vain. Brothers and sisters, I don't live holiness out of duty. You ever hear people say that to folks that have any standard of life? You're doing that because you got to. You look like a poor slave. I don't live like a slave. Matter of fact, you can call me a slave if you want. I'm a slave to a good master. If we want to get scriptural about it, there's many verses when James was said, I, a servant. It's the word I, slave of Jesus Christ. Woo! See, there's two things you got to understand in life. You're a slave to somebody. And I know in American slavery, we got a bad idea when it comes to that. There's books that have been written about the word slave in the Bible. But we realize this, you either slave to Pharaoh or you're going to be a slave to God. If you were a good servant, I'm a bond servant. I'm here tonight because I'm compelled by love. Not because I have to earn anything. Not because it is duty. I love for God. I believe this firmly. Love for God will call us to draw closer than the law ever will. I come to God and I want to live holy and pleasing and be a good testimony because I love Him. It's not out of duty. It's because I love Him. People say, you're saved. You can't do this. I do exactly what makes my master happy. That's my striving. You can't go here. I go where I feel good in my conscience and what will not bring any shame and reproach to my master. Third, aren't you glad for the power of the Holy Ghost to live holiness? God in His Word does not tell us to go through this all by ourselves. As a matter of fact, there's the power of the Holy Spirit. We have been freed from this dominion of sin. The power to choose not to sin. We have that ability. We will not continue to live in sin if we are born again. We will hate sin. And if you do commit a sin, God forbid. But you have an advocate with the Father. You know you can make it right with Him. See, my heart is this. I want to live for Him. I want to please Him. That is the very essence of holiness. I love Him and I want to please Him. But when it comes to the subject of practical holiness, hear me, it's a choice. God ain't going to make you do nothing. He won't make you serve Him. He won't make you live holiness. But in His love and His guidance, He's calling us to live biblically. And again, if the Bible says it, I believe if the Bible says it, we ought to take every effort inside of us to look at that passage. We ought to lay it open before God. We shouldn't even just dig into the commentary, if you would. We shouldn't look to everybody else. You ought to open that Bible. You ought to look at the culture around you. You ought to say, God, I need You to give me some precepts and understanding that I can live by. I want to go to a church that can live by the Word of God, that's doing their best with an honest and a loving heart. You got to make your mind up to live for God. You got to make your mind up to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The Apostle Paul would say many different times, reckon ye yourselves be dead unto sin. Submit yourselves therefore to God, it would say in the book of James. It tells us to make every effort to be found spotless and blameless in the peace with Him. Paul said, I run, I fight, I discipline my body. The Bible exhorts us to live clean, to live clean lives, to labor, to lay aside every weight of sin. We have to do everything everything we can to stay on the straight and narrow, and we need the help of the Holy Ghost to do so. So I'm a firm believer, if you're saved, God can help you have the desire and the power to live holiness. Did God change your desires when you got born again? Boy, there was something different. Why? Because I want to live pleasing to the heavenly bridegroom. Now, when it comes to this idea of holiness, this is very important. I talked to you this morning about different tiers, about what we focus on, doctrines, holiness, opinions, and questions. But when it comes to a church like this church, or a pastor like myself, or the eldership of a church, or you in your home, and you're beginning to discover, what should I live for holiness, and how should I craft out what I'm going to do? How do we do that? What are the three teachers of holiness? This is very important. Number one, the first teacher of holiness in our life comes from the Bible. The inspired Word of God. And though we have to make cultural applications, we must be rooted in Scripture as we are going desiring to live pleasing to God. But hear me, number two. How many knows the Holy Spirit will help you in His dealings and His promptings in your life? See, I'm not telling you just to take this Bible and take my word and just lay there and say, well, I don't make much sense to my culture. You know, this was written, a couple thousand years ago. You know, take a little bit away from that. A long time ago, it was written that long ago. How do I apply it to 2021 in America? I'll tell you how you do that. You get down on your knees and you spend time in prayer. You look around at society and you look at the trends of society and you say, you know what? I'm going to look to that Bible. I'm not just going to look to the preacher up the road. I'm not just going to look to the Bible study up the road. I'm going to look in the Word of God. But I'm going to get down and I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit by internal promptings and convictions that will help me craft out what I believe. God, give me the wisdom to know what to live in these last days. But not only that, thank God for anointed teaching and preaching from the Word of God. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a preacher, but there's been some men that have influenced my life who are underneath the divine unction of the Holy Ghost. I look at their life, I look at their consistency, and I see their happiness, and I see their joy, and I look at holiness, and I say it's not a chore, it's not a labor to that man or woman. They live a life that is clean and pure. It's from their heart. And I thank God that we can look here, and we can understand that God has given us things that teach us. Again, some teachings are explicitly stated in Scripture. Other are practical applications of scriptural principles for our culture, time, in place. But this is what we must understand. It's important for pastors, for leaders, and for Christians to make practical applications and principles for our culture. How are we going to live? How are we going to be? What are we going to try to hit off in these days? We've got to make our minds up about these things. So here at Abundant Life Tabernacle, we got things we believe, things that we teach and preach. A lot of those things you never hear come from across this pulpit. But ask questions and I'll tell you what I believe. I'll tell you what I think about certain things. See, this is what we must understand. We got to develop these things, right? How many knows it's good to pray? Not only that, pray in the Holy Ghost. That's something we believe in. You can get down and pray in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost can help you. We must engraft and implant the Word of God within our hearts. We must personalize the truth of God's Word and live it out in this world. We must not give any opportunity to the flesh. We got to make every effort that we can to live holiness in these last days, and we've got to make applications. Holiness, again, is more than just external. It's internal. It's prayed over. It's sought God after. It's fasted after, and it is important that we understand these principles. Let me give you a few areas of practical understanding of holiness. And there are like 14 of these, but don't worry, I'm not going to dwell real long on them. Just in case you thought holiness was just something external, these are principles and precepts from the Word of God about holiness and coming out from among the world. How should we be different? If you say that you believe in holiness, you're going to find yourself praying about these principles. Number one, how many know it's important to have holiness attitudes? Right? Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As Christians, we have to learn to live underneath the authority of the Spirit. Again, it's more than just dressing a certain way. Do you have the right spirit within you? Do you put to death any evil attitudes of the flesh? Do you have hatred, malice, wrath, envy, jealousy, covetousness, bitterness, pride, prejudice, vengeance, strife, discord? Is any of that in your heart? If so, you cannot claim holiness, because holiness deals with attitudes. How many knows holiness is going to deal with your thoughts? Now that right there is where we got to learn to win the battle in your thought life. I'm a firm believer, but before it becomes an action, it was a thought. I could give you various different texts in the Bible, in Matthew 15, 2 Corinthians 10, and Philippians 4. We are what we think, and we become what we allow our minds to dwell upon. We are to think on true, noble, just, pure, lovely, commendable, virtuous, and praiseworthy things. What are your thoughts like? If you want to be holiness, it matters how you think. What about that tongue? Uh-oh. It matters what you say. I dress right. I don't go here, but that tongue. Do you have a right spirit, right attitudes, right thoughts? How's your mouth? You see, when it comes to the tongue, we are to employ wholesome and gracious speech. We are to avoid talebearing and backbiting and slander and sowing discord and swearing by oath and using the Lord's name in vain, pronouncing curses, reviling, lying, idle words, and suggestive, indecent, and obscene speeches. We got to watch what we say, right? What about the eyes? You see how holiness is a pretty broad thing? It's a pretty big subject, isn't it? The eye is the gate of the soul and the primary source of input for the mind. We are to guard ourselves against reading and viewing things that are sensual, vulgar, immoral, or saturated in violence. Because of that widespread of display and evil in the modern media of the day, we've got to be careful what we watch. Right? You know, when I was younger, it was the whole idea of, you know, get rid of your TV and don't go to the movies. Or the theater, they would call it. Brothers and sisters, we live in a different day. You may never darken the door of a theater, but if you watch something bad on your phone, you're just as guilty. You ain't got to catch the matinee. You can get it right on Facebook. Now, I'm not against technology. I am not against entertainment, and I'm not against media in that sense. There's wholesome things you can watch, and believe me, I know that and I understand that. Years ago, it was all about getting a TV and beating it with a baseball bat. It never did anything for the heart. But brothers and sisters, you and I must be careful with any form of media in our life. Don't let anything influence your soul. Guard your eye. Again, I've met some men who preach so hard against TVs, but they got the biggest cell phone and they got more subscriptions of things and you can't even keep up with them. You got to be careful. What about appearance? Does it matter? Now, this is where we talk about a lot more in holiness churches. Adornment, dress, hair. We understand the appearance reflects the inner self, both to God and to others. It tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1 Peter chapter 3 that what a lady should do on the outside should be a reflection of the inside. What should they adorn themselves with? A meek and a quiet spirit. There ought to be something there about a lady's heart. But sirs, there's something for you as well. Don't just be hard on the women. What about your own life as well? Now, I'm not going to go through just a list of things that I could talk about. But I'll tell you this, worldly styles promote the lust of the flesh, right? We are living in the most lustful generation we've ever lived in. Things that women wear nowadays, things that you see walking around the mall, what people put on, I'm telling you, it's soft pornography is what it is. Years ago, it would have been something labeled. And men, if anybody would ever justify extremely tight form-fitting clothing and all that stuff, the reason is you better be careful because lust is a real thing. Men are attracted by the eyes and what they see and all of that. And it's not our job to sit here and condemn everybody, but it is this, within the house of the Lord, we ought to come here and there ought to be a pure atmosphere where we can strive to worship, especially among believers. I've been in some churches and the altar call, I had to turn my head. I've been in places before, and once again, we're not talking about people off the street seeking help. We're talking about people that were raised in church and should know better about the way that they present themselves. Nakedness in the Bible was anything above the knee. And even it talks about, it shows when you study the Bible out in this context, talks about the collarbone and other parts of the body that ought not be shown. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have no desire of seeing your armpits. Now, I'm sorry I have to throw that out there, but in the holiness churches nowadays, I've been places I don't want to see your armpit and you don't want to see mine. Can we just be mutually respectful on that? And another thing, I know you know about the basics of holiness. Sheer clothing is not a good thing. Just because you veil your flesh a little bit enough to make somebody wonder, you need to watch out. I don't care about seeing your naked arms and your armpit, if you would. Like, I'm not against wearing short sleeves, you know that. I got some friends that don't even wear short sleeves. I honor them and I respect them. But I'll tell you right now, we don't need to see your armpit. And look at this, you ought to live holiness all the time. I've noticed people compromise on vacations and weddings, right? They do. I've been to churches one time. There was a wedding, and this young girl was raised in holiness her whole life, dressed the part. I don't know what happened on her wedding day. I thought myself and the pastor looked just as shocked as I did. What I'm saying is this. You cannot have that hypocrisy, live it or not. Be an example on the day of holy matrimony. We're before the Lord. God bless us. And God, we want to live a holiness life. And all of a sudden you see, just what I say, the adornment, all these things to the extreme. You're like, what happened here? And once again, not people that don't know any better. Now I want to talk about a few other things. How many knows we are living what's called a unisex generation? Do you know what a unisex generation is? It means there is absolutely no gender distinction. Now, I am not going to bore you with the amount of studies I've done on this. But I'll tell you right now, it started back in the 60s when you had these rockers sort of growing their hair, men growing their hair out like a woman, right? And then the women sort of getting a haircut like a man. It started back in the 60s when you look at it. And again, do we believe every verse in the Bible has weight to it? Yes or no? Well, let me read a verse to you. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Is that in the Bible, or did I make that up? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now, I'm not here tonight. Don't get uptight on me. I'm not here tonight to argue whose hair is longer than the other. I'm not doing that. I'm not here. You know, there was a lie years ago. I went to a church and they said they measure your hair for you going to that church. That's a lie. But I'm telling you this, if that verse is in the Bible, should you not pray about it? Now, it's no mystery to you that me and my wife have some convictions maybe that some of you don't have. We're not judging you. But I'm telling you, those verses right there mean something. And it's something you ought to pray about. Matter of fact, you may just look at one phrase right there. Doth not even nature itself teach you? What does that mean? Do you know this? And ladies, and men, listen to me. Women, do you know why it is that most of the time men cannot grow their hair out longer than most women? Something called testosterone. Did God give men more testosterone than women naturally? In a normal circumstance, yes. Do you want to know why most men like myself begin to lose their hair? Our friend testosterone helps out. It grows, but it falls out. Ladies, there's something called estrogen. You know what that helps you do? Grow your hair longer than a man can, naturally. Even nature itself teaches us there's gender distinction. And I've often said this, won't be the first time I said it at this church, I ought to be able to tell what you are at 100 yards, man or woman. I ought to be able to tell what you are. So again, we'll get over that. Don't be offended. Come talk to me about it if you ever would be. But what I'm saying is there's principles in the scripture. What about, now here it is. I'm not letting Derek Jones off the hook here. What about stewardship of your body? Does that matter? Huh? Boy, I've been in some holiness churches. They're so hard on women and men. But boy, they're gluttons. God cares about holiness even the way you treat the temple. Now, if you ever want a good sermon on that, I told you before, David Jeremiah talks about the spiritual, the physical side of being spiritual. How many knows they walked a lot more in Jesus' day? How many realize they didn't drink Dr. Pepper? They didn't put extra sugary creamer and everything, and they ate a lot of fish, and they didn't eat nice pork barbecue sandwiches and bacon. My point is this, you don't necessarily have to be a glutton in America to be a little tight in your waistline. But guess what? I still got to make the efforts on my end. That Derek, if you're going to preach holiness, because one of the biggest arguments when people that leave the church argue against holiness churches, it says, they'll preach against holiness. Let somebody preach against gluttony. Let them come right here. I'll tell you about it. Gluttony is a lifestyle. It's perpetually eating and eating and eating. But nevertheless, you may not overeat much, but guess what? You still got to take care of the temple. It's all a part of holiness. I said it. I'm not even comfortable with it, but I threw it out there. I'll allow mercy for you if you allow some mercy for me. Is that all right? Can we work together here and get through this? And I think we have to allow a lot of mercy for each other on that subject. How many knows the sanctity of marriage is a part of holiness? Right? Marriage is a lifelong commitment of a man and a woman. Sad nowadays, the amount of divorce, not only in the world, but in the churches. Rampant divorce. If we're going to be a holiness church, we need marriages that work. Sanctity of human life. You can't support abortion and be holy. What about honesty? Man, this right here, we can stop and just talk right there for a good bit. I have met people underneath the name of holiness that are dishonest people, believe it or not. I'll be there, Brother Derek. And how many knows every now and then you actually do forget? Amen. I forget every now and then. How many knows every now and then you might be late? It happens. But guess what? There ought to be something about honesty within our hearts that promotes integrity. We shouldn't be dishonest. We shouldn't be lying. We shouldn't believe in fraud or refusal to pay debts. I've met a few people in the church world over the years, who refused to pay their debts. Refused to do it. It wasn't that they got to a place they couldn't. They just refused to do it. And I could tell you some stories, but I'm afraid somebody would listen to this and somebody from distance say, Brother Derek's calling me out. But I've seen some weird situations where people just were not honest. How many knows it matters the people you hang out with? Come on now. Godly fellowship. We need wholesome fellowship, unity in the church, mutual accountability. You and I should not have a great desire to want to dwell among, and we're talking about sinners, we're talking about just out in the secular world. I know sometimes your spouse may be lost or maybe a family member or something like that, but I'm talking about those who just are always in the wrong place, around the wrong people. There ought to be a desire in your heart to be among the saints. I know you got to work around them. Don't mean you have to spend a night with them. You gotta be careful. Make sure you have the right friendships in your life. Use wisdom. How many knows we should not be overly committed to retaliation? All right, let's go a step further. Greed and materialism. How many knows some people can have a covetous heart and go to church? Always wanting something else. Once again, nothing wrong with having nice things and upgrading and all that occasionally. But you got to be careful your heart don't become greedy. You can get a greedy heart if you're not careful. Some people live on envy, jealousy, and covetousness, greed, and all these things. I won't be much longer. I'm going to touch on this last one because it's important in the days we live. How many knows it's wrong to be prejudiced? You cannot be holiness and hate somebody of a different skin color. Right? Doesn't matter if you're white and you have some sort of prejudice in your heart against a black man, or somebody of a different nationality, or if you're black and you got something against a white man. It's wrong both ways. And I've seen it both ways. And I came from a little town called Tyner, North Carolina. I've met a few people that are racist in my day. I've seen its influence on the church. But the Bible tells us that it doesn't matter your race, your social class, or even your gender, and there are only two, man and woman. You're in the image of God. Vody Bachman is a black minister and one of the best voices against the extreme. He's against white supremacy and the Black Lives Matter movement. He's against both of them. He said, he was standing before a white congregation And I think it was called melatonin, I guess they have in their skin. He said, don't be jealous because God gave me a little bit more melatonin than you. In a comical way. But what he's saying is, we are all in the image of God. And if you're holiness, because I've been to some holiness churches, they need to deal with some racism in their church and their mindsets among them. In closing, I've thrown a lot of stuff across this desk here today. My encouragement this morning is the same here tonight. Be a good Berean. You know me by now. You know my heart. And my desire is 20, 30 years from now, if I'm here or somebody else, I don't know, if I'm still alive, I want this church to still be a holiness church. Wants to have a message. I'll conclude with this, and I'm going to read it to you, and it'll be our conclusion, and we'll pray for a few minutes. This question was asked a minister about modesty in the church. And this is what he said. He said, it is impossible to come into a church, youth ministry, or school, say a Christian school, that is permeated with immodesty and fix it just with a few rules about modesty. He's saying you got to have more than rules. Guidelines have a place in family, schools, youth ministries, and churches. But if you're going to turn the institution around by starting with the rules, you will not accomplish a Christ-exalting, gospel-rooted, spirit-empowered, faith-sustained, Bible-informed, joyful, free culture of modesty. You won't, yet that is the goal. I never started with rules and guidelines, he said, but I started with God, the gospel, the Bible, the spirit, faith, and joy. Deep things must happen in a woman or a man's soul before they have any change of thinking and feeling about these things in the way that honors God. To any woman or man who dresses inappropriately, I should basically say this. And this is what he says, I quote, until God has become your treasure, until your own sin has become the thing that you hate the most, until the Word of God is your supreme authority that you feel to be more precious than gold, sweeter than honey, until the gospel of Christ's death in your place is the most precious news in the world to you, until you have learned to deny yourself short-term pleasures for the sake of long-term joy and holiness, until you have grown to love the Holy Spirit and long for His fruit more than man's praise, until you count everything as lost compared to the supreme value of knowing Christ, your attitude towards your clothing and your appearance will be controlled by forces that don't honor Christ. Goes on to say, every pastor can see we have work to do because the work starts in the soul. The work starts in the soul. And I want to conclude with that thought before we pray. Anything that's been said across this pulpit here today, it's things that I say because I've come to some conclusions in my personal soul. And I ask you to pray about these things as well. And God, I want Abundant Life Tabernacle to be a light in these last days with God's help. Sister Kayla, if you would go to the piano for a few moments. And we're going to pray about these things. Stand to your feet if you would. Let's ask God to help us. We're by no means done. We're just dealing with these things. And in the coming days, I'd like to deal with the subjects of legalism and things such as Christian liberty issues. What things that, you ever heard of things that are called gray areas? It's not black or white. It's gray areas. Principles to live by in gray areas of life. How we can glorify God. But what I want you to pray with me here tonight is this, is we're going to kneel down and pray in a moment. How many realize we live in a very perverted, derogatory, and depraved culture? How many agree that we live in dark days? These are dark times. The church is to be a place of hope, a light, salt. There ought to be a difference, right? Again, you know me. And I could sit here and weep before you because I know my heart. I love everyone that is here. But my heart is this, is that Abundant Life Tabernacle would shine brightly in these last days. I want there to be a contrast. And I want our hearts to be in it. I'm telling you, we live in a dark day. I look at my children. I look at Mike and Shelley's precious little children. Think of Jack's. Think of Dakota as a young teenage boy. And I could go on and on. I think to myself, God, I don't know what's going to be around the next bend so many years up the road. But God, let this be your house. Let my children come to church and see consistency among this congregation. Let my daughter and son see you can be happy and holy. You can be happy and holy. I charge you as a congregation, ladies. I know sometimes you feel a little more weight on your shoulders than what us men do. Seems a little more complicated in the age of style and fashion and the unisex movement. Can I encourage you? Number one, let me tell you this. I appreciate you. The life you live, the standards you live. But can we pray? Men, I challenge you as well. You're not off the hook. We're to be leaders of our home. Distinguished, set apart, not just in attire, but in attitude and spirit. And the structure of our homes. And the way that we live, our attitudes, our thoughts. I've went through all of it here tonight. But I want you to bow down and pray and say, God, help me to live holiness. The whole entire definition. Inner and outward. Find you a place to pray if you would. Find you a place to pray if you would. Ask God to bless this church. Dear Lord, as I pray over this congregation, I ask you to touch every heart, Lord. God, I know sometimes we're talking about these things, it can bring a little bit of tension, but that's not my heart. I believe if it's in the Word of God, we ought to pray about it. We ought to seek the face of God about it. I ask you, Holy Ghost, God, we'll be a holiness church in these last days. That our spirits would be right. That our minds would be right. That our homes would be right. Holy Ghost, I would that you would sanction this service. Let your approval be upon this congregation. Visit us in these last days. Bless this church. Bless this church.